Okay, microphone. Oh, we're on. Ooh, I can hear something. When I was a kid, I hated hearing the sound of my voice. You know, like in tape recorders and things, and you'd hear it back, and you think, is that what everyone else hears? Well, I don't really like that sound. I like it how it sounds inside my head. So, anyways, good morning. We are going to spend the next few weeks just talking about Jesus, our favorite topic. We're going to be looking at the things that he spoke about, the things that he did. And I have the privilege this morning, I'm going to start with actually his prayer. And the thing about prayer is we pray and we ask God for things. And sometimes he just divinely answers them. And sometimes, quite often, he uses people around us. But it's still him. But he uses people around us to answer our prayers. And the amazing thing about this prayer is it's a prayer that Jesus prayed. And we are the answer to that prayer. We have the privilege of answering that prayer. And to me, that's been quite a revelation that I've had over the last couple of weeks. Even though I've read this many times, just we're the solution, if you will. We are the ones who get to participate. So I'm just going to start with John chapter 17. You got it up there? Verses 20 to 23. And it's entitled, Jesus Prays for All Believers. And it says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus' prayer is that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. And it's hard for us to wrap our head around the Trinity, try as we might, that they are one, they are inseparable, they are one. And yet, they are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three separate, and yet one. So one that you can't really tell where one ends and the other begins. And Jesus' prayer is that we would be one as they are one. So that's not about each one of us having our own little space and doing our own thing and having our own little world and having our own little, I did this and I did this. And it's about us being one in him. He's the head, we're the body. He gets all the glory. We are one in him. And it's quite a concept to remember because it's actually only in him that we can be one. We as human beings, sometimes we get along with each other. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like one another. Sometimes we don't. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus' prayer is that we would be one in him as he and the Father are one. So how do we become one in him? It seems like an impossible task. And yet Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. So there is an impartation, there's something we receive from God in order to walk this out. It's not by our own human strength, it must be in him. Okay? In January, Blaine had a word for James Street Church about winter is coming to an end and spring is coming. It'd be like drawing a line in the sand, one day winter, one day spring. And I remember that morning that God gave me a picture of us being like a garden of flowers. And that the flowers may be very different, and in fact, he created them different on purpose. There might be different colors. There might be different types of flowers. They might have a different number of petals. They might grow on a different vine or bush. And sometimes you might look at the flowers planted beside you and think, oh, yeah, we've got that in common. Look, we've got this alike. And it makes your heart feel all warm and gushy. And other times, you look at the flowers planted beside you, and you're thinking, really? We don't have anything in common. Why have you put us next to each other? In fact, we kind of need a little bit of a, you know, space between us. Put something in there. And yet God has put us together in his body on purpose. Every one of us where he wants us to be. And the thing about a garden is when people come into a garden, they are drawn to different flowers. Some of them are drawn to pink flowers or yellow flowers. Some people like roses. Some people like asters. There's all different flowers, but there's something for everybody to appreciate, and that's the beauty of a garden, a well-planted garden. And we were made different on purpose and put together next to each other so that when people come in and get to meet God's family, there is someone there that they can identify with. There's someone there where they say, you know that part of your story you shared? That's what my life is like right now. So how did you meet Jesus there? Or that love that you have to give, or the way that you sing that song, it really speaks to me. There's each of us has something to give away that they need. And together we form a complete picture of the body of Christ, one in him. And so I want to talk about this thing right here, this podium that I'm standing in front of, and see from where I'm standing, if I was going to describe it, the part that's most prominent to me is this part on top. It's flat, it's angled, it's nice and high up, so I can put things on it so my hands are free, because I tend to use my hands while I talk. And I have things I can look at and read. I'm really grateful for it. But from where you're sitting, if you were to describe this podium, probably the most visible and prominent part for you is this part here, the pillar. And it's tall and it's thin and it's got flowers wrapped around it. So you're describing this podium by describing this pillar with the flowers wrapped around it. But from where I'm standing, I'm looking at this part here that's flat, that's angled, that has a purpose for me. Are we describing two different things? Are we?
No.
But it takes the willingness to see from another's perspective. Oh yeah, I see what you're talking about. They actually form one complete thing. And if you were to come up here and stand, you would see the part that I see. But together, they make a complete picture, because this is not floating in the air. And that's not a pillar standing by itself, just stuck in the middle of the room for no purpose. Together, they create this thing that I'm being blessed by, this podium. And it is the same way in us coming to know God, in our experience of God, in how we've encountered him in our life, in the parts of his heart that we've gotten to know. Each of us has a different experience of him because of what we've been through in our life. Have you come to know him as your healer?
Yes.
Have you come to know him as your savior? Have you come to know him as the one who is your hope, as the one who is your strength, as the one who is your joy? How have you encountered him because of what you've gone through? How has he revealed himself to you? It may be different, but we're talking about one Lord. And when we come together and we each share the part of him that we've encountered together, we get a complete picture of who he actually is. And then we get to give that away. There's a reason that God, that Jesus prayed the prayer that we would be one in him. Because together, we can reflect a complete picture of who he is. Okay, I want to move on to 1 Corinthians 12. They will come up here. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start in verse 12. It's quite a long passage. And it's the title of mine is Unity and Diversity in the Body of Christ. As with so many things in the Bible, it's this and this. And they're seemingly opposites, and yet in God they're the same. There's unity and there's diversity. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being so. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Can you hear this theme being repeated over and over? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There's a lot in that passage. One of the things that it's saying is, like the Trinity, one but three, we are one body but many parts. And each part looks different. Each part has its own unique, indispensable function. Each part is placed exactly where it needs to be, maybe in a different part. And what God wants us to do is to actually celebrate these differences. Our natural tendency is to compare and quite often come up short, either for one side or the other. But an eye is not a hand, and a foot is not a tummy. We are all made differently. We are all placed differently, and he did it on purpose. And quite often, there are parts of our body that we don't notice and we don't appreciate because they're not immediately apparent and visible to the eye. Have you ever done something new and different with your body? Maybe you've gone and had a workout, or you've gone for a longer walk than usual, or you've helped a friend move some furniture, or you've done something that your body isn't used to doing. And the next day, you wake up, and oh my goodness, you're in pain. And quite often, in parts of your body that you didn't even know existed. Yeah. Anyone ever had that? Yeah. You find muscles that you didn't know you had. And the funny thing is that as you go through that day, because that body part is complaining, you suddenly start to find out, do you know what? I use that body part an awful lot, especially considering I didn't even know I had it. And that is the way, often, in the body of Christ. Do you know that someone actually took their time and they came in and they set up these chairs so that when you walked in here today, there was a place to sit? And someone got out of their bed earlier this morning and they came down here and braved the cold and turned on the heat for you so that when you walked in, it would be warm. And someone else came early and they put on the kettle and they got out the tea and the coffee and the milk and the sugar so that when you came in, you'd have a nice warm drink. But quite often, we don't notice these things until something goes wrong. Isn't that the case? It's so cold in here. Oh, I'm really sorry. My car got stuck this morning. And it's like, but it's cold in here. Yes, I know that. I face that every Sunday morning when I come in. Or there's no milk on the table. What could we do? Could we say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for making the tea and coffee this morning. You know what? I see you're missing some milk. Shall I go get that for you? Or maybe we see someone who's come in and they're sitting down and we could offer them a cup of tea. We can go and be a part of helping, be a part of doing something. We oftentimes have people who make meals for us. We have people who clean the church. We have people who plan and spend time with God and prepare things that get written into programs. And then you get this little sheet of paper and you have no idea the hours that have gone into putting all that information on the paper. But all the different parts of the body do what they do so that coming together we form one complete body. And it also says that we're placed in different parts, and some parts are more prominent and more visible than others. But you know, God is not a respecter of persons. We quite often look with what our eyes see and we kind of stop there. I know for years I had this mentality of kind of us and them when it came to church. Us is, you know, me and the little minions around me, and we kind of do our little thing, and we have our little circle of friends, and we get together, and we're kind of over here. And then there's those people over there, there's like the leaders, and their kind of circle of friends, and the people that they influence, and they're kind of over there, and they do the big stuff. You know, they hear God's voice, and they do the things, and I don't know what impression I had, but it was very much an us and them mentality in my mind, and usually discounting myself, because I wasn't one of them. And if I'm honest, it then began to create this wall, because really out of maybe resentment, maybe hurt, maybe disappointment, maybe lack of understanding, I had this separation. That's who they are. That's what they do. I'm not one of them. Maybe I'm not as important, or maybe I'm not. I don't know what I thought. But we often do that. And Jesus called me on the mat one day and he said, Zelobia, you're both my kids. There is no difference in my eyes. You see, that one who's standing up there right now and they're speaking, that pastor of yours, he's my son, and I love him. And he's given his life to me. And he said, Lord, how can I serve you? And I've asked him to do something, and he's doing it, and I'm so pleased. And I'm going to give him more to do, because he's been faithful, the little I've given him. And you know what? You're my daughter, and I love you. And you've given your life to me. And you've said, Jesus, how can I serve you? And I've given you things to do, and you're doing them. And I'm so pleased. And because you've been doing what I've asked you to do, I'm going to give you more to do. There is no more and less in God's eyes. It's just that his role is more visible than mine. That was the only difference. And I really had to ask God's forgiveness, A, for the fact that I'd distanced myself from this part of the body. I tried to kind of cut it off and put a wall there, and that's not answering Jesus' prayer. But B, without realizing it, I'd also discounted who God had made me to be. And I didn't value the contribution that I made because it didn't seem as important. But when we use that muscle, and when it starts to hurt, that muscle we didn't know we had, we find out I'm not always aware of it, but it's there and I need it. And I couldn't do what I do, my whole body, without that muscle being present. Lord, thank you. And you know, God's placed each part of the body exactly where he wants it on purpose. If my eyes were not in my head, if they were on my shins, for example, I wouldn't have the ability to see over very much in life, over very many obstacles, to see ways around them, to be able to get things done. It would make life really, really difficult for me. So God in his wisdom has put my eyes up here so that I have a greater chance of being able to see what's coming around a corner, or what I need to walk around, or what I need to avoid or walk into, or I can have greater wisdom because I can see because my eyes are up here. And God in his wisdom, he put my hands on the end of my arms so that I can reach out and grab hold of what God has given me. Or I can put my arms around a friend and I can comfort them. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he's placed each one of us where he wants us to be. Where do you find yourself? In your home, in your office, with your friends, with your family? What family has he placed you into? What are the circumstances in your life right now where you might find yourself in a place that you don't normally go? And you're around other people. God has placed you there for a reason, for a season. What does he want you to do there? How does he want you to let your light shine there? Is it to give someone a smile? Is it to say hello? Do you have time on your hands? Can you sit down with someone who's lonely? When you walk into church, can you see someone sitting on their own and maybe go and sit next to them and say hi? Can you offer someone a cup of tea? Can you pray for someone? During the week, can you be praying for Sunday morning and for people in the body who are in need of prayer? How is God, what has he given you? What has he equipped you with? Heart, time, talents, characteristics, ability, personality. Maybe you can't get alongside these people and do this, but maybe that's not what you're called to do. So what are you called to do? Let's not look at what we can't do. Let's look at what we can do. The fact is that every single one of us here, we have the most amazing thing to give away. We're God's kids. We've been saved. We've met Jesus. We know the hope of the world. We know that God is alive and that He cares. And there is a whole world out there dying without knowing that. And if that's all that you have to give away, that's the difference between life and death, guys. That is the most important thing that we have to give away.
Yes.
And on top of that, God made us in His image. And He's given us parts of who we are to reflect who He is, to reflect maybe a different part of who He is. And maybe some of us are quiet, and maybe some of us are very outgoing. God has made you that way for a reason. Do you know that when people are kind of shy and quiet, they don't really do so well being around people who are really loud and outgoing?
Amen.
So if you are, thank you, dear. So if you are, if you're one of those people, you have the ability to get alongside someone who might be quiet as well. And even if you just sit next to them and you don't have to say much, just the fact that you're there means they're actually not sitting on their own anymore. Do you know that's actually really powerful? You ever been on your own in a room full of people who all seem to have somebody with them and you're feeling a little bit out of place? And even if someone sits down next to you and you don't know them, you just think, at least they don't look like I'm on my own. Like, you just feel a little bit better for the company. We can do that for people. We can do that for people. It just involves sitting down. That's not actually risky, is it? Instead of choosing to sit a seat away from someone, we could actually just sit next to them. That could be your risk for this week. But you know what? It's moving forward. It's starting to recognize I am who God made me to be. And He made me this way on purpose. And He put me where I am for a reason. We are one body and many parts. We are many parts, but one body. We are one in Him. You can't have a finger walking off on its own and expect it to have life. It doesn't work that way. And when a shoulder is dislocated and it's hanging limply at the side, let me tell you, it affects the ability to use all the rest of the arm. But when it gets restored to its place, suddenly the rest of that arm has access to all the lifeline flowing. So we are also connected to other people. And because of being who God's made us to be and being placed where God has placed us, we have access and we allow other people a connection into the body because of who He's made us to be. And that's important. And we need to learn to value who God has made us to be. It's that simple. So what has God put in you? What is your contribution to the body? What are you able to do? Pray? Make tea and coffee? Set out chairs? Sing? Clean or wash dishes? Befriend people? Visit with them? Sit next to them? Go and see the mother in hospital? Just hold her hand? Share your faith with someone? Organize things? Encourage people? Write a little note or send them a text? What can you do? How can you be part of answering Jesus' prayer that we would be one, even as He and the Father are one? How can we start to value the contribution of people around us? Instead of looking at how we're different, like those flowers in the garden, can we remember that we all come from the same soil? We have the same foundation. We draw our life from the same source. We are who we are because of Him, and that's true for every one of us in this room. And sometimes you need to ask Jesus, you know, I'm seeing this person, I'm struggling with them, I can't find a way, Lord. I can't even find the common ground we have. Lord, would you open my eyes? Would you give me eyes to see them as you see them? That could be someone who knows Jesus or someone who doesn't, let me tell you. Because we're all made in God's image. God, would you give me eyes to see them as you see them? Where's the fingerprint of you in them? And how can I encourage that and call that out? Have you ever received a compliment that you've been able to receive? And it kind of makes you go, oh, I am like that. And all of a sudden, you kind of start to operate in that even more than you used to because you've become aware of it. Do you know that's true for all the people around us? Even the people that we find hard to be around? If we look for the gold in them, if we look for God's fingerprint in them, and we start to encourage that in them and call that out in them, we'll actually see that begin to grow. And that will begin to be more prominent in who they are and how they represent themselves and how they represent Jesus. We can be a part of answering Jesus' prayer simply by saying, wow, you've got such a gentle heart. You know, you've got a really caring heart about you. You're really good at doing that. I really appreciate when you did that for me the other day. Thank you. Just by doing those little things, we can begin to draw out of one another the value of who God's placed in us. So I'm going to end there. I'd like us just to take a moment, though, just to break up in groups of two or three, and I'd like us just to pray for one another and just bless the fact that we are part of one body, that we are in need of one another to have a complete picture of who Jesus is. Our common ground is in him. And if you feel like, you know what, I don't honestly know what my contribution is, I don't know what I have to give away, then maybe just ask the couple of people you're praying with, would you just pray for me that I start to recognize